Pleased to be joined by our next guest. It's always exciting when he drops in. Time for Adnan Virk. Good morning, Adnan. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Boomer and friends. How are we doing tonight? Listen, my apologies. Tough loss to the Flames last night. I was watching until it was 4-0, and I said, okay, that's enough. You guys are going to be bummed out. I don't want to be too bummed out either. But it's all right. Long series.
Well, we hope it's a long series.
So,
yeah.
I hope so.
Oh. There's a lot of people in this city that were planning on having a nice long playoff run.
The pubs were ready.
Yes.
They're open for business.
Let's hope it's not three home games.
let's say, and listen, nothing is worse right now than Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, that is one of the craziest stories in sports. And seriously, the last couple of days between Tigers comeback and the Lightning gagging, I mean, it is unreal. Like, that Lightning team is so loaded. I was looking at their numbers, and I'm like, oh, best power play, great penalty kill, tons of scoring, Slavsky and net. No. Bomb. And I had a guy argue with me, because, well, a lot of that's Tortorella. I go, what? Of course he's a Rangers fan. Oh, it's all Torts. I go, listen, I recognize Columbus is playing out of their mind. Okay, I love Bobrovsky, former Flyers goalie. I recognize Torts is a good coach. But bottom line is this, when you're that talented, fellas, Brett, back me up. That's a choke job, okay? You can say it's Columbus playing out of their minds, but it's also the Lightning falling flat on their faces.
It's 100. And they came out, got three in the first. It looked like it was lights out everyone. I shut the TV off. The series is over.
Yeah, it was game one, 3-0 in the first period for the Lightning, Adnan, and they, what, have like two goals since?
I don't know what's going on there.
Oh. Horrific. But, horrific.
I was going to research this. So they tied, but I'm so busy, oh, okay, I couldn't find the time. I do believe it was the Detroit Red Wings that had the other record, right, for the most wins in a season? Did they go on to win the Stanley Cup that year, or did they get ousted by Colorado?
I think they got ousted. They won the next year.
Yes.
I think is how that ended up playing out.
You don't win? You got to finish third.
It makes me think also the 90-91 North Stars. They were 27-39-14, and they beat the Blackhawks in the opening round. The Hawks were the President's Trophy winning team. Like, I was like, remember that North Stars team? Like, oh, yeah. The great unis. Like, that was
Hatcher.
Unbelievable in terms of upset. Yes. Darren Hatcher. Yep.
Modano and Hatcher.
John Casey, I think, was in that. Yeah.
In terms and kind of staying there, well, I don't know if we need to talk baseball today, even. In terms of all time colossal upsets, if this goes down, it'll be one of the greatest upsets in NHL history just because of the point separation. Yeah. It's 30 points. Regular season, they had, 62 wins. Across sports, where would you point to if you were to be asked, what are the greatest upsets all time in sport?
You know, it's interesting. If we're going to go, and let's go team sport, because if you start to go individual, a lot of that is boxing and, I mean, tennis, you can get some other great ones. But if we just go team sports for great upsets, I think the Warriors one was pretty epic in 2007. That was the 67-win Dallas Mavericks team. Like, they were loaded with Dirk Nowitzki. And the Warriors were 25 games inferior, 42-40. Baron Davis and company pulled off that upset. In the NFL, remember the Packers went 15-1 in 2011. 15-1, and they lost by 17 to the Giants. That was their first NFL playoff game. Like, it wasn't even like, okay, NFC Championship game. That was their first one. So I remember that Packers team. I remember the Warriors specifically in the NBA. In baseball, I mean, obviously the Red Sox coming back from 3-0 against the Yankees in terms of a series. But those are a few that definitely stand out to me. I mean, in boxing, I mean, you can go Cassius Clay and all that kind of stuff too, if you want to go that route.
So how do you feel about Alain Vigneault as the new coach of your Flyers?
Well, I wanted Quenneville. I said, listen, just back up the Brinks truck, give him 5 years, $50 million. I don't care. Like, he's the best. Like, who the hell is he? And then as soon as I see Quenneville opts to go elsewhere, I'm like, all right, well, there goes that. And then I think Vigneault, listen, he's definitely successful. You know, President's Trophy 3 times, been to a couple cup finals. But I'm curious how he does with younger players. I mean, this is going to be the entire bellwether of whether or not he succeeds. And we look like we have a goalie of the future in Carter Hart. But as far as the rest of these young players, the likes of, you know, Sanheim, Gostisbehere, Provorov on defense. Can he get, you know, the likes of Nolan Patrick to score consistently? Obviously, you have Couturier, Giroux, et cetera. But, yeah, I'm curious. When I think Alain Vigneault, I don't think, oh, he's the guy who gets the best of the young players. I think successful coach, good melding of veterans and youngsters, but I don't know if he's the best to inspire the youngins. But proven commodity, and I'll take him over Scott Gordon.
You're going to like
him. Yeah, I think he's a very good coach. I think he's quietly been a very successful coach. What'd you think of Tiger on the weekend?
Unreal, man. By the way, your picture was hysterical, Boomer. For all those who are listening and haven't seen it, go to Boomer's Twitter feed. It's I was dying. Picture of his son back when Tiger last won a major. Was it last won the Masters?
It was the last time he won at the Masters was 05, and that was literally we had just gotten our firstborn child home. I think he was a day and a half old, and I was on the chair watching the Masters with him all wrapped up, so we decided, well, we should reenact, now that it's happened 14 years later, we should reenact the photo. He was good with it. He's like, oh, God, all right, fine. But it took a lot of work.
That's why I always wonder, like, funny people like yourself, are the kids equally as funny? I mean, just not interested. I can just imagine you trying to cajole your teenage son into this picture. Like, come on, Dad. You have to. All right.
No, I said,
then I get to play Fortnite.
He was just like, oh, okay, I'm down, whatever. And then we had to find blankets that resembled the ones that we had. I had to change my shirt. I had to go shave. We had to put a lot of work
in. Way too much work. But as far as Tiger is concerned, listen, I read the great book Armin Katan wrote a couple years ago. It's an awesome biography of Tiger Woods, in case anyone's interested in reading it. And I found reading it, I was very empathetic towards him, right? His dad, Earl, this is not a cuddly guy. As often happens in sports, you have these maniacal, obsessive-driven fathers. And I'm sure he loved Tiger, but he was obviously a maniac by anyone's standards. But like you see, this happens, as I said, in sports. And his mom was kind of shielded away from him. So when you read the book, you have an understanding of Tiger's obsessiveness and just his will to succeed, and whether or not he ever actually even loved the game as much as people realize, or whether it was driven into him. So I thought about that when he obviously hugged his son, because it was such an incredible moment for any of us who are dads. Tiger's kids never get to see him win. Like, they never get to see him dominate, which is such a sad thing. I always think about that with athletes. You know, like Jeter didn't get married until after he has a kid after playing. I'm like, man, your kids are never going to see, at least in the public view, your greatest achievements. Of course, you're going to achieve great achievements post-athletics. But, you know, the public eye, it's like, hey, man, I remember Tiger in 2008. Remember what he did? Like, these kids are never going to see that. So I just thought that was, A, so nice for the family link. And literally, you know, when his son grabs him and hugs him, how could you not get swept up in the moment? The fact that he came from behind, I thought was notable. Had never done that before, two strokes behind. But here's the quandary that I have for you guys, and I have not got one good answer on this, so I cannot wait for you guys to figure this one out for me. I am not a moralist, as I'm sure the rest of us are not, so I am not going to pass judgment, even though the book details explicitly how much he was unfaithful to Ellen in reckless manners. I mean, Hooters, waitresses, and cars, like you name it, man, like 10,000 women, all right? But again, I'm not a moralist, okay? I'm not going to judge a guy whatever he does in his personal time. He had the four back surgeries. We all know that. The DUI. I remember looking at that picture going like, oh, my God, that mugshot. That's like worse than Nick Nolte's. How is he ever going to recover from this? Can you guys explain to me this? On my timeline, I get everyone loves a comeback story. And, of course, he's a player who's so charismatic, and there are golf fans that people love seeing a guy get a second chance. But the amount of women on my timeline who were unanimously supporting Tiger, I was like, hang on a second. Did we forget the part where he was a reckless womanizer and he completely was selling himself as a family man? It was cheap and was horrible to his wife. Like, I don't know. I think that's great. Everyone's willing to look the other way. But I am telling you, boys, I saw women after women going, oh, my God, I just paid $16 for Wi-Fi to watch Tiger. Oh, my God, Tiger's my favorite athlete ever. I love Tiger. I love him so much. It's the greatest moment of my life. I'm like, really? Okay. All right. Interesting.
Yeah. Maybe what it is going back 14 years when he last won the Masters, all of us are trying to cling to our youth. Maybe it's just, I remember, it was good. Like, my life was good then, and now I'm married with a bunch of kids and a mortgage and a minivan.
Well, that part of it, I can't appreciate just the how Tiger was so invincible, and now he is so mortal. Like, that image of him, as you noted, I mean, he's a 43-year-old man who's balding, and just, you know, and he even made a joke about it. He goes, this is why I'm balding. I got the stress, the pressure gets me. Like, you're right. He's never looked more human or more easily to relate to. But, I mean, that book is tough to shake. The other thing about Tiger, you'll never forget, is he's incredibly cheap. I remember reading that book being like, this guy, he could have solved so many of his problems if he hadn't been so cheap. Like, if you're rich in life, man, take care of your caddies, take care of the people around you. They will defend you and back you. But he was so cheap, and then he was just so reckless and relentless with his personal life, it all went away from him. But credit to him for coming back. Listen, I never thought he would win another major. No way. Another Masters, no chance. So he proved me wrong. And credit to Nike, the one sponsor that stuck by him. Buick, all those places, they all got rid of him. Nike stuck with him. Commercial comes out right away. I saw a billboard in Times Square yesterday. Very cool.
How's the new gig?
It's going great, man. I don't want to call it big fish in a small pond, but I mean, I think that's just an example of just, I was always a guy who took advantage of the fact I kind of go to the beat of my own drummer, meaning that I'm lazy, and I've just taken it to the next level. I mean, I roll in at 4:30. I roll in at 4:30. I'm out at 10:30. I got weekends off. I mean, we're talking 30-hour work week, and I spend like a good 50% of my time with my feet up on the desk watching baseball. I mean, it's unbelievable. There are children listening who are like, I'd love to be a sportscaster. You got to work hard to do that. I'm like, have you heard Burke's story? That guy's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. He worked for however long, and now he just goes to work and watches baseball with his feet up all day. It can be done. It's good to have goals. It's good to have goals. Hey, have a fine week, man. We'll catch up next Tuesday.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.